Okay, the beginning this board, we're going to stay over a share. The first board here is an idea that Rabbi Friend spoke out, and he talks about the connection in this week's Parsha and this week here in America or outside of Eretz Yisrael, Baloischa. Then we're going to talk about next week the Shlach, the Meraglim. So we know that Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, and it really wasn't so clear what she did. Really wasn't with a bad kavana. And Mishnah Berurah talks about it, Shmiras HaLoshen, and he speaks about the Inyan, and she really was just trying to, you know, correct him and what she thought he was doing wrong. He wasn't staying with his wife. And so she was giving him a lemusser. And she didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was a different type of Novi than they were. They were Aaron and Miriam. They were in the Neviim, like other Neviim and all the generations, but they didn't have the same Koach HaNevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was something that was a all the time. There was no stopping. Hashem could talk to him at any time in the day and night, as Shila Biazan. And the Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, therefore, was different, and he couldn't actually be with his wife because he'd have to be talking to the Shekhinah. And that was the idea that was her mistake. She didn't realize that his Nevuah was different than their Nevuah. And that really was the similar idea at the end of the Parsha. We learned that, you know, the Meraglim, you know, they didn't learn from the fact that she was punished. And similarly, they didn't realize that, you know, that Eretz Yisrael is different than the other places around the world. They were nervous that they wouldn't be on a madrega, you know, to fight against all these kings that are coming into Eretz Yisrael. And then they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special hashkocha in this Mokum, Eretz Yisrael, that is Mereish Hashanah and Achar Hashanah. That it's a different type of place, a different HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he made different people, like different madregas, and Moshe was a different madrega than other Nevi'im in all generations. So also Eretz Yisrael is different than all other places in the world. So that was a similar mistake, and that's what they didn't learn. They didn't learn from the mistake of Miriam, and she was, of course, she was punished, she became Matsaras. And that was the idea. So we have to many times understand in our conversations and our talk that people are different. They're in different matzavim. You can't really know a person's situation without knowing all the background of the situation. And a lot of times we're going to talk, you know, maybe lashon hara, mechilas about a person, not realizing, you know, that person is in a different category or a different situation. And that's the lessons we're learning here in the beginning of the Parsha, the connection to this Parsha of Miriam and the Parsha of the Meraglim, that we have to many times think, you know, before we say something. And the Lashon Hara is a very serious Aveira. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah spent years writing about Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and all the Aveiras that are involved. And I spoke out this week. I know some of you were there, I think, and we spoke about it at the graduation, that the Maaseh of the Chofetz Chaim, that he was old and couldn't hear already. And they said, why don't you get some kind of device, a hearing aid or some kind of operation? And he said, we scream in his ear and tell him everything. Why don't you just get some kind of device? Maybe you'll be able to hear properly. So he answered, the Chofetz Chaim says, no. He says, when it's coming to Torah, the people will scream in my ear. I'll hear the good pshat if they want to tell me. But Lashon Hara, nobody's going to scream in my ear. That's what he said. So in other words, he didn't want to hear any Lashon Hara, and he was pretty secure. In fact, he couldn't hear anything. He wasn't going to hear any Lashon Hara. So that was, I saw him as a Meister of Kibager. He was very old already, and he could hardly hear also anything. But somebody was talking in Torah on the other side of the room, and Rabbi Kibager ran over there, told him he got the wrong shot. In other words, his ear was toned, in tune with the Torah. So even though he couldn't hear much, when it came to Torah, he heard it perfectly, and he ran over to the other side of the room and corrected the guy's mistake. That was you hear what you want to hear, so to say. Krishna hears what he wants to hear. If you want to hear Lashonara, you'll be able to hear it. If you want to hear Torah, you can hear Torah. So it depends on what you know, where you're in tune, what's your, you know, what's your channel, what's your, you know, some people have a filter, you know, filter, and the filter filters out the Torah, and some people filter out the Lashonara. So the question is, what kind of filter do we want to have? That was the idea, I think, at the beginning of the parsha. Then we go on the next board. So over here is Matamba Das from Mr. Sternbuch, where Hashem came out last week from the hospital, and he was doing better now. And it says, Vayaskin Aaron, Aaron lit the menorah. And Vayaskin Aaron, it says, Lahagid Shvocha Shal Aaron Shalo Shina. So Aaron wasn't Mashana. It's a very, I've been bothered by this question. What do you mean Aaron wasn't Mashana? Obviously, Aaron Akoyen, you know, the Aaron that was the, was you know, such a great person and tremendous Nabi. Hashem told him to do a mitzvah. Obviously, it wasn't Mashana. What do you mean? Wasn't, he didn't change. He did what he did. Of course, he did the mitzvah. It's supposed to be the way he's supposed to do it. Everybody talks about this. This is a famous hesped that the Satmar Rebbe said about Rav Aaron Kotler here on Norman Lakewood right now, thinking about Rav Aaron Kotler and what he did here, of course, and made this whole revolution of Torah in Lakewood and went around all over the world, what Rav Aaron Kotler did. And Mishana Shaloshina, that he was not Mishana. The Satmar Rebbe said that Rav Aaron, you know, he saw what he saw, you know, before the World War. He saw that, you know, there are certain places of Torah, which is only Torah. And they even, you know, where he was in the Kletsk and Slutsk and those places that he had, Slobodka, where he had seen Torah at such a high level and pure Torah. And he said there could be, it has to be continued in that Messiah. And the people, when he came to America, they thought he was crazy. I mean, you know, they can't be like that. You don't understand the times. Everybody said to him, you're mixed up. You don't understand the times. You're not realistic. Well, we see that he seems like he did a pretty good job over here. I mean, looking at Lakewood with the thousands of people. And then the other night they had in Philadelphia in the Wells Fargo stadium, they had, you know, 20 or 25,000 people celebrating, you know, the Avreichim who are learning in the Kollel here for more than 12 years already in his Kollel, and that's in all over the world, really. So the Mishan Eloshina, the Rav Aaron, that's what the Satmar Rebbe kept saying in the Hesped, that he was Mishan, the Rav Aaron, based, you know, coming off of the Rav Aaron, Aaron Akoyen, he says Rav Aaron Kotler was Loshina. Now, even though Satmar Rebbe had a different approach to, he had a different approach to the one second, somebody trying to come in here. Somebody, one second. Hello. So Rabbi was a different sheet than Rav Aaron in a lot of different things. Disagreed with him in Chinuch Atzmai. You know, Rav Aaron was a tremendous builder of Torah in the Chinuch Atzmai. But you know, the but Satmar Rebbe was against the Chinuch Atzmai. I guess they were teaching for him it was too much Lamud Echol or whatever. But Rav Aaron Hillel was good. In fact, when Rav Aaron was sick in the hospital, so the Satmar Rebbe came to visit him, and you know, he told already his gabbai he's not going to talk about Chinuch Atzmai because Rav Aaron was sick in the hospital, and he wasn't going to mention anything about his disagreement with him. He just wanted to visit Menachem. He wanted to visit him, the Bikur Cholim, and as soon as he got in the room, Rav Aaron saw him. He started screaming about the Chinuch Atzmai, you know, because Rav Aaron was Eish Lahava in his shita that you have to build Torah in any way. He felt it was proper, and that was the way he felt it. So that was the Mishana Shalosh. Even though he didn't agree with Rav Aaron in every thing and some things he fought with him, but he still said that Rav Aaron was Mishana Shalosh. So what is the Mila, the Aaron Akoyin, the Loshina? So some say that he did it every time with the same simcha, the same happiness. That's how some say Loshina. In other words, sometimes we do something, the first time we do it, we're very excited. And then we, after the first time we do it, we sort of calm down and we don't show our excitement anymore. And that's the idea that. But he says Aaron Loshina means that he always, no matter how many years he was lighting the menorah, he did it with the same Abba, the same Simcha. That's one interpretation I saw. He says another pshat that Loshina means that he didn't think of himself as being so great. In fact, Hashem chose him to do this, even though the aloha of Hadlokas a menorah doesn't have to even be a kohen. It could be even a non-kohen could light the menorah. And he was still chosen, as even though he was chosen, and he didn't necessarily have to be a kohen. He did his kohen gadol, but he was chosen and he did it all the time. And he could have said, well, give it over somebody else. No, no, Hashem told him to do it. He wanted to do what Hashem told him. So he, lo shina. And some say it was inyan of anova, that again, it was modesty that he didn't think of himself as being so great. He was chosen for this individual honor. And he didn't think of himself as being, you know, God's gift to man. He's chosen to be the lighter of the menorah. And he did it just, you know, as a chiyah, Hashem wanted to do it. So that's Mashana Shalom, that teaches us that he wasn't Mashana. And a lot of times we do mitzvahs and we don't show the same enthusiasm or otherwise. If we get an honor, we think we're great. But, you know, he says, no, you have to do it. If that's your obligation, and do it as Hashem's Dratzen. Now, that was the word, another interpretation I saw by Rabbi Shesternbach. Now, continuing the thoughts, going to the next word over here, going to, this goes about the Chatzreisreis. They had a mitzvah, they went into blowing the Chatzreisreis, but they went to a milchoma. So they went to Mahoma, they blew these trumpets, and it says over there, Rashi brings, that they did a call of a trua. That's what Rashi says. In the time of Mahoma, they made a call of a trua. Now, a call of a trua is sort of like a, you know, it's a like a being afraid, it's a fear showing a person, you know, it's like afraid. I like we say in Rosh Hashanah, it's a yavava, it's a wailing, different types of truas. You know, that some types of crying, it's slow crying or fast crying. But that's it. So that's what we do when it goes Shas B'chom. So why is that part of the blowing of the Chatzreisos in such a manner? So it's mentioned here that because in Mahoma, a person has to do tshuva. We mentioned this also by Tainus Esther. We mentioned it by the Achona that, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Mahoma, when fighting Amalek, they had to do tshuva. That was Tainus Esther we mentioned. That was you have to do tshuva. You have to be realize that the Mahoma is not us. It's not kol chiviyotzim yodi. It's not my strength. You know, a lot of times, you know, there was that many people have tainas against, you know, the Israeli defense. Obviously, they're like Moshe Nefesh, the soldiers, but they a lot of times they say it's kol chiviyotzim yodi. They keep thinking that they're the ones that are making the war. They don't say that Hashem is really helping them win these milchomas. It's Yad Hashem, and not with kol chiviyotzim yodi. So here, therefore, when you go into the milchoma, you have to blow the shofar or blow the chatzreses with a kol yavava with bechi, and you blow it. He says the beginning, you blow with kia before and after, as you show our amuna that we know that if we're gonna do tshuva, we're gonna have simcha afterwards. We're gonna have bitachin that Hashem is gonna help us. And that's the idea that we start, you know, out with our externals. We have, and it's mentioned in this forum, also in Rosh Hashanah, that our pneumius is crying, but on the outside we're strong because we know that if we have our internals, tuned in on the right channel, so then Hashem is going to listen, and we'll have strength, fortitude to do the right things. Now, but the key is here. We said again, it was done with the trua, but he says that and that's why it's the kia true and kia. But sometimes we have a different type of blowing. It's only the simcha that's blowing. It says in the yom simchaschem, so it's only called kia. We don't have a true. So there he says yom simchaschem, and Chazal bring that yom simchaschem is Shabbos. Now, it's a difficult point because we don't really find in the Torah that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. A mitzvah of simcha is yantiv. Samachta b'chagecha. A yantiv has a mitzvah, a special mitzvah of simcha. Shabbos is not simcha, but oneg. It's oneg. So we've mentioned it before many times that if a person, in fact, would better off and feels, fasting, feels better off fasting, that's his oneg. So that would be really, Shabbos would really be okay. Whereas simcha, you have to make a positive step. You have to bring simcha. But so it's cool. So difficult. The why said Yom Simchascham is Shabbos. I mean, because Shabbos is not a Yom Simchascham. Shabbos is Yom Oneg. Of course, the Shabbos Oneg. So he says no, because the truth of the matter is that Shabbos internally has simcha. That's the day of Shabbos is the day of simcha. You don't have to create simcha for Shabbos. That's what Meshach Sternberg is saying. In other words, the other Yom Tovim, in order to appreciate the simcha, so then you have to do something to get the simcha, whatever, make a korban, bring a korban, the offering of Shalmei Simcha, and that's going to bring out the simcha. But he says, and then Shabbos is a day of simcha in itself. Shabbos is simcha. You don't need it in a sense of making a special effort to make simcha, because Shabbos has in it. Okay, Shabbos has in it simcha. Okay, so Shabbos has in it simcha, and you don't have to make a okay. You don't have to. Okay, we're in the middle of a shiur now. We're talking about Baloscha. I know you guys are in Shlach over there in Israel, but we're in the middle of Baloscha in the shiur right now. So we can't really. I don't know if you want to hear a little bit about Baloscha. You're in Shlach. We're talking about the mitzvahs of right now Baloscha. So it says that Shabbos has it. Like we said, you don't have to create Simcha on Shabbos. It is a day of Simcha, and that's how Rav Moshe Sternberg explains that. We have a din on a Sheva Brachas. We have to be Mosif Simcha. We have to be Mosif. That's what we do with Ponim Chadoshes. We invite people who are not there by the Melchasana. We invite them to partake in the Sheva Brachas that make a Simcha. But on Shabbos we don't. We says Ponim Chadoshes is not necessary on Shabbos. So Moshe Sternberg explains, because Shabbos in itself is intrinsically simple. You don't need a Ponim Chadoshes. Since Shabbos, as we said, is a Yom Simchascham, so it's not necessary to add the new people there. Even the old people who were there, the Chasana, they'll still have the Simcha on Shabbos, because it is a Yom Simchascham, as Chazal say, that's the Shayim. And therefore, the blowing of the Chatzreis and the blowing of Chatzreis on these days on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that was done without Truah. That was only with Shas Mechama, where they needed to have a tshuva, and they needed to have fear, and that was why the Truah is a call of, like we said, of by crying, a bechi, Mashiach came in the union of Yom Simcha. We don't have to have crying, et cetera, but it's strength that Hashem has given us this Simcha. Now we said the pasuk about going to Chatzreis and says the Simcha. It says in the end of the pasuk, it says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem." So, Hashem, why is that mentioned here in the mitzvah of blowing the chatzreis? Why is it not "Ani Hashem Elokeichem"? I mean, that's a general rule, of course, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem." But why is that mentioned here in the pasuk, which is talking about the blowing the chatzreis, Yom Simchaschem, Muadechem, what does "Ani Hashem Elokeichem" got to do with this? So he brings in Bermayim Chaim. I think Ber Mayim Chaim, I'm not sure of that. Maybe it means the say for the Chofetz Chaim, and the other swarm also called Ber Mayim Chaim, but perhaps this is from the Chofetz Chaim, Ber Mayim Chaim. He says that the idea of mentioning Ani Hashem Elokeichem is because you can have simcha on Yontav. It's simcha. You make a beautiful suda, you make whatever you make, great food, and have a real singing and songs and dancing and all that kind of thing. But what kind of simcha is it? Is it a simcha of mitzvah, or is it a simcha of mitzvah, or is it a simcha you're having a good time with a good food? And so it's very easy. It's very easy, he says, to have a feeling of very easy to have a feeling of simcha that's not necessarily a simcha of a mitzvah. It's a simcha of enjoying the food. It's great. We have great food on Yom Tov, and we'll enjoy that. In fact, the Rambam, I think we mentioned it another time, the Rambam, Rosh Yom Tov, says that we have to have a, Rambam says, Rosh Yom Tov, that a person who has a simcha of Yontif, and he has a beautiful Suda, he should invite also those people who are, who the people like the Umbolim, the people who are feel down, like downcast, like people like a widow or an orphan or someone else doesn't have family. So those are the people you should invite, because otherwise the Rambam uses a very strong lashon. He says that would be a simcha shel kreisai. That's a simcha of your stomach, he says. If you just enjoy the party, it's good food and you have great stuff, you know, eating and drinking, people like, you know, maybe wines, so that's great. But the Rambam calls that simcha shel kreisai. So you have to be a simcha shel mitzvah. That's why he says dafka here, that's what Mr. Sherman is mentioning, that's ani Hashem Elokeichem, dafka, Hashem is telling you you should make the simcha, make it, of course, with beautiful party and having a family and enjoying it, but also you have others that you can that need it, mitzameach, those other people. It shouldn't be just a simcha of your own physical enjoyment. It has to be a simcha. That's why he says we also are supposed to be mitzameach, the shalme simcha. We do it with a mitzvah after. We don't just have a nice, beautiful suda and enjoy our you know the physical part of the yontif. But we have to do it also with a with the spiritual. That's why the shalme simcha is the way you're supposed to enjoy the meal in time of Mikdash that you're supposed to do at the mitzvah. That's why Neshem Okechem is mentioned here together the mitzvah. Okay, so then we're going, let's see, we go on further on the Omer. The last thing over here, we spell Moshe El Hashem. And this is a posik that says, I think somebody has to take off the, it's kind of making noise over there. Maybe we can mute someone over there. Not sure who was making kind of noise over there, and there has to be muted something. I don't know. In the background, there's some kind of noise there. I don't know. It has to be muted. If you can do that on your whoever's thing is going. Okay, galaxy. I know who that is. Not sure who the galaxy is over there. But anyway, but try to, if you can, kind of mute the noise over there. You can. So now we have a the board that we're saying in the Rosh says, like, you spell on Moshe El Hashem. Okay. So after the people had complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were complaining, you know, didn't have what to eat and all that. So then it says, Moshe David, Meshbal Moshe Hashem. Now, Gemara in Brachas, it says that he tiach dvarim klapim mala. He tiach dvarim, like he threw it back to him. It's like, you know, he threw it back to him. He's like, he was telling him, you know, he's like shooting back. He did something for me, you know. And he's sort of like he's throwing it back in Hashem's lap. Tiach dvarim klapei mala. Shenemar, as it says in Posuk, the Gemara says, "Beispala el Hashem al tikra el Hashem el al Hashem." Now, very difficult Gemara. I mean, very difficult Gemara that explains this in Brachas that says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say he davened to Hashem; it says davened on Hashem. It's kilo. He's like, he's putting the pressure on Hashem. Hashem is doing something bad. Now, where do you see that in the Pasuk? You don't see that. So that's what, but this is the Tzlach from the Rabbi Huda says that this is a difficult Gemara because there is no indication from the Pasuk that it says, doesn't say El Hashem in the Pasuk. It says, Vespala Moshe El Hashem. It says that he's davening to Hashem. It doesn't say it's the Al Hashem. So why does the Gemara change it? And the Kilo, puts the onus on Moshe Rabbeinu and saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing something wrong over here. Well, where do you see that? He didn't. It all says he davened to Hashem. Doesn't say he davened on Hashem. So the Gemara is difficult. Says and that's why Marsho was bothered by that question. So the Tzlach has an interesting interpretation. So he says that usually when there was a complaint, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying what the people were complaining about. Moshe Rabbeinu would explain what his complaint was. But over here, he said. And here the Torah doesn't really say what Moshe said. This is El Hashem. Well, what did he say to Hashem? So he explains, but Moshe, he says that Moshe had two milas, of course, the Novi Hashem, and a special kirva, he had the more than the Nevi'im, as he mentioned, he was speaking directly to Hashem, he spoke Lari Meira, and also a special Abba for Klai. So we mentioned that in the other shir also, I think we maybe mentioned about the different people who loved that loved Hashem and loved Klal Yisrael. I think Moshe Rabbeinu was his tremendous Ava and protecting him. In fact, Hashem said, "And I'll make you the nation. I'll destroy the Klal Yisrael, and I'll make you into the nation." He said, "No, the table with three legs can't stand for sure. You know, obviously Yaakov, for sure my one leg wouldn't stand. But he, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he said over in his pleading for the people, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was always trying to look out for the Tovas Am, and therefore he's explaining, you look in the Torah, it doesn't say at all what he said. But if you study it, he says, this is the Tzlach talking right now, this is the Tzlach in over there in Brochas. So it goes really on the Parsha previous in the Torah, what's written Lamala Mimeno in the Torah. It's written over there that people had complained, and they had complained, you know, you didn't give us, you're not giving us the meat, you're not giving this. They were complaining, and you know, Mayim Lishtos, we didn't have meat. Hey, they were complaining. And then right away, Moshe Rabbeinu comes in, and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu said his piece over there. Moshe Rabbeinu said that, you know, he davened into Hashem. So it's a continuation of what they said. In other words, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu to, so to say, to plead their case. He should be the advocate for their tainus to Hashem. And it says Moshe then davened to Hashem. So in other words, he was carrying on their taina. He was carrying on their taina. And I was he's saying, and look, he says, the future, and look in the further psukim in the Torah, he says, Anochi haresi lamazad, did I create you? Did I give birth to you? And in other words, why are you then coming to me with tainus, by Israel? I didn't create you. I mean, I'm just shliach Hashem. And you see, that was written further in the psukim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that to Hashem, look, you know, that they have, you know, they come out of taina, and I'm carrying their taina to you. In other words, he's just following up what they had said. That's klapi al Hashem. That's what the Tzlach understands. That he was carrying, he was telling him that, you know, telling Hashem that, you know, I'm their shliach. I want to tell you that I understand their taina, and that's a taina. He's throwing it back to Hashem, and I was saying, you know, Hashem, why are you doing this to the people? Why aren't you, you know, taking care of all their needs? And now we'll go to the next board here. How about Lotzka, the next one? You see over here. Okay, let's say we'll go to the next board. Okay, so over here. Okay, one second. How about Lotzka, part two. Go to the next board. Okay. This is the okay, the Hemshech. Okay. Vayishma Moshe Sa'am Bochal Mishpachoysev. So it says now Moshe Rabbeinu heard the people crying, Mishpachoysev, according to their families. It's not clear what they were, what exactly what they were tining, and what does it mean? They were Bochal Mishpachoysev to their families. Well, when they, why did they? What were they crying about, and what does it mean towards their families? So it's brought in Chazal. Rashi brings it. Chazal. He says, "What does it mean? Al iske mishpachos." They were crying because of the matter of the families. And this is, of course, we're also learning Yibamis. You know all about the union of Arias. That after they were given the Torah, they were commanded a lot of the women that were forbidden, Arias. And now that's what they were crying because, remember them, they said, you know, we were allowed, before the mitzvah of the Torah, we were allowed to marry these relatives. And now we have these people who are related to us. We cannot marry them. So that's Mishpachosim. That's Chazal say that they were crying because of the Arias, Parshas Arias in the Torah. So he says that's Chazal, but there's a question that's raised by the Maral in Prague, and Gurarie says, one second, we know it's also Gemara recently learned in the Daf Yomi that really a person who is Megayer, a Gershon is Gayer, should know the dummy. But a person who you know has converted, so then a Gershon is Gayer, should know the dummy. It's a new Bria. So really, Minatayra, if a person is Megayer, so a man would be able to marry a sister of the guy, or they're different people. They're not the same person. It's a whole new being. And now Matan Torah, there was with the Kabbalah Torah, it says that they did Geirus. They had Tofas Dam, or they had Korban, and they became Yidden. So how could it be? Says that's the question that the Gurari was asking. Well, one second, why were they crying Mishpachosav? They weren't Usher and these Arias. They were Gershon and Geir. So he brings an answer from Rav Naftali Trupp. There was Shiva. Rav Naftali Trupp, there was Shiva and Tells in Europe. And he said that there's a difference between the gear, a gear cotton that the Gemara says a gear from the sky or cotton shenoyla dummy, between the gear cotton and between the gearis of the Klal Yisrael at the Matan Torah. He says because the gearis of the people that they take upon themselves to be a Jew, he says that's a gear from the sky, cotton shenoyla. That's a Kabbalah midas that they accept upon themselves to become Yidden. But he says the Kabbalah of Kabbalah Satera, this was the difference. He says that's Bakorcha, like Kofalei Marka Gigas, that really they were forced into this, so to say, and that's why it's different. Now he's not explaining it that much. Why is it so? What of it? They're forced, what's enough Kamina? Why don't we say Gershon is Geyer, Kotchenola Dani? So what is talking the explanation in this, in the words? What does Rav Naftali mean to say, so this is done by Korcha, and this is done by Midaita? So this is explained, this idea that was explained, it says over there, by the board that Rav Naftali threw up, this board, he said that the idea was that in order to become a Yid, when it converted, she's got called Shinola Dami. So that's a whole new bria. Shiyotzi Michal Akum and Nichnas to Klal Yisrael. So that's considered like a whole new bria. Geris, it's a bris chadasha and kotchinola. But the Dora Midbar, they were really hemshech kvar b'Klal Yisrael, and the Geris didn't change their essence. They were also the Bnei Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov from previous. They were still somewhat, they're connected in the Mesorah to Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And that's a continuation. That's maybe why also could be done with forcing them, because basically we've said this in other times also that the other Gemara we mentioned last week in Avodah Zarah, that the Goyim they had tainas, you forced the Jews to take it, we were forced, we also would have done it. And Hashem answered them in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, no, I gave his Zayin Mitzvahs, but Noach, he didn't keep them. So what's the answer? What's the discussion? We say, well, that was the litmus test. They couldn't keep the Zaymus, so that shows there wasn't their real rutzen to do them. It's just therefore no use forcing them. But the Yidden who did keep the Zaymus, and they kept the mitzvahs they were given before Matan Torah, many mitzvahs even, they weren't commanded, they did it on their own. So that showed their real inner rutzen was to do the rutzen Hashem. So therefore, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin, that you can force a person to give a get who's really mechuyev to give a get. Are you not allowed to give a get bal korcha? No, he says, because that's not really bal korcha, because the inner panemius of a yid is to do the ratzon Hashem, and just the yitzhara was stopping him from doing it. So here also, that's what he's saying, really, the idea that the Kabbalah's teretz, Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and matan Torah was different than the Kabbalah's geirus of a goy, because that's a total, a new bria, because they weren't a yidden, and became yidden. But here we were a Yidden, just we didn't have that higher Madrega. And let's mention more in the Yidden of Chasko Abramsky. Chasko Abramsky, the great Gaon of Chasko Abramsky, says it on a posik. We say in the posik, Torah Tziv Alona Moshe Morosha Kilash Yaakov. So it's Torah, it was given to us through Moshe, Morosha Kilash Yaakov. But it was even though Moshe gave us this, the Torah, but it was already a Morasha Kilash Yaakov. It was already a Kabbalah that we had from our, from the forefathers, from Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's Morasha Kilash Yaakov. So it wasn't just a new Bria Chadasha. It was a Hemshech of the Morasha Kilash Yaakov. And therefore, it was understood that they were really Yidden, and they were lacking in the higher Kedusha, so to say, of what they needed to be. And that, say Gershon and Skyar come to know this. That's why Bochum Shmuchoisa, that's how he explains it, Rabbi Bramsky. We'll go on to the next word. It says in the next word. Yeah.
There's the inherent Kedusha of a Yid that goes back to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Yeah, the Kedusha of a Yid, right. The Kedusha of a Yid.
The Kedusha's lady says over there. Kedusha's lady says over there in Perek Yates and Shmos, Am Segula and all that. That all stems from the Ava between Hashem and Avram and Avram and Hashem all the way back.
Very nice. Very nice. Beautiful. Okay, very nice. Now the next board It says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Lochein Avdi Moshe b'chol beisi ne'amon hu. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was different than other Nevi'im. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, there were certain things about Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem spoke to him very clearly. V'spakalai Me'ira spoke to him, in a straight way. And the other Nevi'im was more or less, it was like a dream, and they can interpret the dream. But by Moshe Rabbeinu was clear, as V'spakalai Me'ira, Pe'alpe is not very wrong. So. But what's this idea? I have a whole basic Namanho in my whole house of the Nevi'im or Klal Yisrael. He was a Naman. Well, it means that the other Nevi'im were not Naman, and they weren't honest. I mean, you couldn't trust them. What do you mean they weren't Naman? Every Navi is a great Madrega. The Rambam says they have to be very, very high level. They have all kinds of requirements to be a Navi. So why weren't they also Naman? So Reb Chaim Brisker says all the Nevi'im. When they said over in Nevuah, they had to say Ko Amar Hashem. That's how the introduction of the words in the Navi was to tell the Klal Yisrael, Ko Amar Hashem. They used to have to say that. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have to say Akdama. Any mitzvah, the Torah doesn't say Ko Amar Hashem, because they knew that this was the word of Hashem. And you see, the Kavana of Chobesi Nemanu, not have to say Ko Amar Hashem. In other words, another Navi could say other things which were not really necessarily connected to the Torah. They could talk over, other things which are, boring, Zirichol and other things they could discuss. But Moshe Rabbeinu was Kula Teira. So it was something that, like I said over at Moshe, Mahavdil, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was by the doctor. And he said that, after the doctor examined him, he said, do you have any questions? He says, yeah, a lot of questions, but they're all in Teira. I don't have any questions for the doctor. My questions are Teira. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu. His was called Nemanu. In other words, they knew he was saying only Nevuah. He was saying Torah, because that was the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, was all Torah. So that's called basically Nemanu. So that he says that anything they say, doesn't bring nothing, you give an introduction, it's the word of Hashem. They knew what he was saying was the word of Hashem. And he says, Reb Chaim says, Sharmim Avshin is Babim, Shayach Shatobai, Nevuah Shnei Levatel Rishayin. In other words, also, the other Nevi'im, sometimes a later Nevuah by that Nevi or other Nevi'im could revival it, because the Matzah, the Pesach could change, they could do Tshuva, and we learned Yonah, also that, there was a decree that Yonah, Nineveh, they were supposed to be destroyed, and later on, they talked to Tshuva, so it changed, and that could happen, and it does happen throughout all generations, that they could change, and Nevuah is not necessarily going to stay in that situation. Mashenkin Moshe Rabbeinu, what he says, that's Naman, it's Kayem Naola. Whatever he says is never going to change, and that's that Torah is the constant. It's never, that's his thing. That's in the son of the of Chaim of Belbel, says it writes on a hemshik of that idea, brings a Rambam, brings what the Rambam says, brings this idea that says, Mr. Rav is explaining this. He says that from the Sodia Tere, in Bo Novi, Lachish Vasa Shamesh Rabbeinu, he says that you can't be Machish. You know, no Novi could come around and deny the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, because that was Tere. Moshe, again, if another Novi would say something, he could say different, because it could be that the Machish changed. But that's Neman. It's going to continue. Every generation is going to have the same knowledge and understanding that it's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's words are going to be forever true. And that's, he says, an interesting word he brings from Rav Noach Mindis, who he says was the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, and he says a very interesting Hasidic word. It seems like, even though it's from the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, he says, because Kol Beisi Nemanu. That pasuk when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Beisi Nemanu, it says the gematria of those words called Beisi Nemanu, gematria are Taryag. So that he's trying to hint or loop us that whatever he's saying is like all the mitzvahs of Torah, and that's the idea that we said again, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different than the other Nevi'im, and that's what we wanted to say in this parsha. Okay, and that's what I want to conclude now on the ideas of. And I hope everybody should have a fantastic Shabbos. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, Monday. I'll have to still be because I'm going to dinner, Mitzvah Hashem, for my Rebbe, the Novominsker, on Sunday. So I'll be back Monday, Mitzvah Hashem, via Zoom, and we'll be able to I'll be back on Monday afternoon. So I hope to be on Zoom Monday and Tuesday in person. And everybody should have a fantastic Shabbos. I see Rochel is on there also.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for a beautiful, heartwarming shiur. Thank you, Richie.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm so happy that my sister-in-law is on with us today. She's also.
And we'll see you in Ritz Hashem at the dinner. We'll see you at the dinner.
Are you in Lakewood now or in Brooklyn now?
I am still in Brooklyn. I'll be in Lakewood Sunday.
In Brooklyn, okay.
And
so I'll see you
in Ritz Hashem. I might even be with you in the car. Yeah, I might even.
Okay, Ritz Hashem, we'll go to the dinner together in Ritz Hashem.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.
Great Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you so much.